Would you take your Bibles? And I just want to wrap things up by taking you to a text from Mark chapter 3. We have literature, Lori, correct, out in the lobby area. And please pick up some of that literature. You never know who you might run into who needs the kind of help and hope that we have to offer. So please get the word out. There's a place where those that are struggling with addiction can go, can be in a safe place to hear a dangerous message, a message that will change them forever and forever in a beautiful way. Mark chapter 3, and before I read my text, let me just preface with these words. For the last 3.5 years, almost 4 now, I've been on a unique journey. I'm back in the world of academia pursuing another degree. And one of the main questions I have been asking is this: what is recovery? And I've been attempting to drill down and really understand what is recovery. What is the recovery that we are endeavoring to offer? And all of the other questions that circle that. You know, I think that the question, what is recovery, is not much different than what does it mean to be Christian? What is a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? I believe there are a few questions that are perhaps more important than this question. What does it mean to be Christian? What is recovery? You know, the classic answer to this question is something about the recipient of a number of gospel riches. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means to be adopted. It means to be righteous. It means to be reconciled. It means to be brought into God's family, a joint heir with Christ. And I will say yes to all of that and more. Hallelujah. Or in the language of my ministry, what does it mean to be in recovery? It means sanity, right? Sobriety, wholeness, wellness, power over destructive habits, freedom from life-controlling addictions. I don't dispute that. But may I suggest there's much, much more. Something vitally is missing. Each is focused, again, on the benefits of what it means to be in right standing with God as a Christian. The benefits of what it means to be recovered or in recovery. But there's something vitally missing. The late Karl Barth quips, he said, you know, all of this smacks of sacred egocentricity. Well, I want to talk about that. Mark chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 14 and 15. He appointed 12. Designating them apostles. Let me read that again. He appointed 12, and what's the next phrase read? Designating them apostles, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. Father, in these final moments of our worship, I pray that your word would spread rapidly and that Jesus, you would be glorified. In your name, amen and amen. Back to chapter 3, verse 14. He, Jesus, appointed 12. And what did he do? He designated them to be apostles. Designate is another word for name. The title of my message is Renaming. I'm asking the question, what does it mean to be Christian? What is recovery? And I'm suggesting it has something to do with being renamed. He designated, he named them something. He named them apostles. What's an apostle? A sent one. Someone who's been commissioned with an assignment, a messenger. Someone who has been sent by another to represent. Think about that. The very first thing he does, He appoints 12, and what does he do? He renames these 12. And he names them, curiously, with the title, with the inscription, apostles. Apostles. I find this interesting that in the early church, persons who were baptized, those who had come to faith and identified themselves as Christians, were given in the early church new names. Think about that. And what does Jesus do after he gathers and appoints these 12? He designates them apostles. He names them apostles. So let's just take a time out. Here's my thesis. God is missionary. I deliberately, by the way, did not use a or the. A as if, you know, he is, you know, a missionary amongst many. The, I didn't use that pronoun either, indicating, you know, or suggesting that he might be the prime example. No, God is missionary. It's part of his nature. It is, in fact, his nature. Now, hear me. God is missionary. Therefore, those in God through Christ by the Spirit are what? Missionary. If God is missionary and you are in God through Christ by the Holy Spirit, you are what? Missionary. When you become a Christian, his nature becomes yours. His DNA becomes yours. If you are in God through Christ by the Spirit, you are missionary, which is another way of saying you are an apostle. An apostle. You know, Paul says the same thing in a little different way in one of the most popular verses in the New Testament, but I think one of the most misunderstood. You all know 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Well, Paul then begins to expound upon what it means to be a new creation. Therefore, later on in that same text, he says, in verse 20, we are therefore, as new creations, ambassadors. Ambassadors who have been given both the ministry and the message of reconciliation. If you're a Christian, you're an apostle. You're an ambassador. Think about this. I opened with the question, what does it mean to be a Christian? Another way of asking the question is, who is a Christian? A Christian is an ambassador, an agent, an apostle, a sent one. You know, I find it interesting that in Paul's letters, 9 of the 13, he opens with a declaration of his apostleship. For instance, Romans 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle. Or 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul called to be an apostle by the will of God. 9 out of his 13 letters, he opens up with this declaration. You know, this shouldn't surprise us, though. He got it naturally because Jesus was in him. And remember, Jesus saw himself as an apostle. Sent one. If you read the Gospel of John, check me out. There are at least 40 times where Jesus refers to himself as an apostle, or in our translations, as one who has been sent. 40 times. Many of you know some of these verses. Chapter 4, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. Chapter 5, whoever hears my word and believes me and him who sent me has eternal life. Or John 6, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. And then the great verse, John 20, verse 21, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. God is missionary. Therefore, those who are in God through Christ by the Spirit are what? Missionary. Missionary. That is to say, ambassadors, agents, apostles. The late missiologist Leslie Newbigin quotes this statement, opening his book, "There is no participation in Christ without participation in his mission to the world." There is no participation in Christ unless there is participation in his mission to the world. I believe that many of us have forgotten who we are and what it means to be Christian. Our missional purpose has gotten lost. And this is, by the way, often reflected in our hymnody, in our singing. So many of our songs are a monotonous chanting of pro me, pro me, pro me, pro me, in some shape or form. Have we forgotten who we are? This is a great Pentecostal church. You know Acts 1:8. You will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be what? Witnesses. I'm grateful for the gift of tongues. I speak in tongues. I don't know that I can say like Paul more than you all, but I'm grateful for that precious gift. But let's understand, the gift of the Holy Spirit is about being what? Witnesses. Those who will share with God his mission of recovery to the world. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, correct? And then Jesus, right on the heels of that, John 3:16 says, as I already read, John 20:21, as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. Years ago, I heard a pastor ask a question after citing Jesus' calling to his four disciples found in Mark 1:17. Remember the charge? Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. By the way, you know who that pastor was? Pastor Kurt Demoff, former staff member here. And I just remember, I don't recall the exact setting, but I remember him declaring that text and then asking this question. I wonder, if you're not fishing, are you really following? We can claim all these gospel riches, which are precious, and to be received with great gratitude, imputation of righteousness, right? The hope of glory, sanctification, glorification. But let's not lose the fact of what it means to be Christian, what it means to be someone who's in recovery. It means to be an apostle. I can remember Pastor Brad years ago with my mentor and one of yours, the late David Itterock. I was in our lobby at the center, and the two of us were standing side by side. Many of you know the late Pastor David Itterock, and a gentleman came in our lobby, and I asked him for his identification. So, my name is Jeff Bonzelar. Who are you? And I can remember this person, whom I had never met, said something like, I'm Minister Deacon so-and-so. And as you knew, Brother Dave Itterock, Brad, he was not one known for maybe tact and not known for social courtesies. So that's a funny first name. Can I tell you something? Without spitting on his grave, he was so instrumental in my life. You're looking at Apostle Jeff. And I think I'm looking at several other apostles out there. Apostle Bradley Trask. Apostle Rhonda Trask. What is recovery? It's a renaming. Apostle Mike. Apostle Dell. What is a Christian? Someone who's been renamed, given a new identity with a new vocation, a new purpose, to join with God in his mission of recovery. Heavenly Father, I thank you for inviting us, in fact, for calling us to join with you in your ministry and in your mission of reclamation and recovery and recreation. Lord, I dare say that some of us have forgotten who we are. Lord, bring back our missional identity. The reason for which you have brought us into your family, so that we can join with you in your operation of recovery, to bring those estranged from you, Lord, into right relationship with you, to bring order to disorder, beauty where there is ugliness, justice where there is injustice, to reclaim, in fact, all of creation for you. Help us to understand, God, who we are. We are all, if we are in you, apostles. And if there be any, Lord, who is yet estranged, I pray, Lord, that they would come right now. You will refuse none who come to you. Thank you. You are a welcoming, hospitable God. There's room at the table. And God, if there are some who yet have to come to the table, may they do so this morning and enter into this dynamic relationship, a relationship, God, which will change their whole course of life and give it meaning and purpose and significance. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.